The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord.
We only have two more days before we finally end this current liturgical year. And as you have noticed in these last few days, in this last several weeks, we had been reading from the book of Revelation, which is a very intriguing book. And there are lots of opinions that were put forth in explaining, you know, the meaning of Revelation. But one thing I can tell you, and I think I mentioned this to you before, Revelation is not so much as a coded book that tells us what's going to happen in the future. It has that element, but more than that, the book of Revelation is an explanation of history, revelatio, you know, the unveiling of what? The unveiling of the meaning of history. And so what happens in revelatio, what happens in Revelation is the people who peruse the literature looks back on their history and looks forward into the future and see where God is in all of those events. We need to remember that because our Protestant brothers and sisters, they're so eager to trying to unlock the code and what's going to happen in the future, and so therefore act accordingly. Not necessarily so. The book of Revelation is a book of the oppressed, people who are oppressed, people who are crushed by the mighty powers. And so they look to God. They look to God in history and see in it their hope. An example of that will be will be in the reading today. And so it says here, I, John, saw an angel came down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the abyss and a heavy chain. He seized the dragon. Well, this dragon was the ancient serpent that lured our first parents into sin, into original sin, and so giving us all of these trouble. And so here they see that dragon was already cast into the abyss. So what it's saying to the oppressed is that do not worry. That cause of our trouble is now cast into the abyss, Abyss is abasus, you know, to the very depths, to the very bottom, you know. So the devil, the cause of our trouble is cast there, and it tied up for 1,000 years and threw into the abyss, tied up for 1,000 years. Now, 1,000 is not literally 1,000. 1,000 many years, and he was tied up. Why was he tied up and cast into the abyss? By the power of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. That's what it's being said here. Because of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, this serpent has been cast into the abyss for 1,000 years. And so from the moment Christ was crucified, suffered, died, and was buried, until now, the church enjoys peace. The church continues to flourish. So that's what it's meaning. But then he will be released until the 1,000 years are completed. After this, he is to be released for a short time. So this relative peace that we are enjoying, this wonderful time to be here at Holy Family and worship the Lord and have fellowship with one another, this will come to an end at the end times. when the devil will be released again. So there will be a final persecution. There will be a final persecution, it says. And then it cuts and says, then I saw thrones. Those who sat on them were entrusted with judgment. So who are these? Who are these judging in the thrones? Well, these are the people who have left everything to follow the Lord. Remember that exchange between Jesus and the rich young man. The young man said, what can I do to follow you? He says, well, give all you have, and then come and follow me. And the man went away empty, sad. And Jesus turned to St. Peter and the rest of the apostles, and saying, I tell you that anyone who has left family, friends, lands, because of me, we will be given many, many things, many, many families, many, many properties in the end time, and among which is that you will sit in judgment. So here we see those of us who have left everything, and it doesn't have to be like the way a religious or a priest would leave everything, but if we leave everything for the Lord, if we leave all of our pride, if we leave all of our sensuous pleasures to follow the Lord, we will be there, as is prophesied here. We will be sitting, judging, because that means we will participate in the power of God. See, all of these is saying that in the end, we will participate in the very life of God. We will participate in the very power of God, both of judgment and administration and blessing. And then, of course, we can go on and on. But here it says the dead were judged according to their deeds, and so here it's talking of the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ will be proclaimed to all parts of the world. Everybody will see the Lord coming, unlike in His first coming when it was all in secret. It was only the shepherds and the holy family who saw His coming. This time, everybody will see Him coming. Everybody will see Him victorious and mighty and beautiful. I don't know if you have been to the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. If you look up the ceiling of the church there, you see the great American Byzantine mosaic of Jesus Christ. You know, youthful in appearance, and sporting a very muscular chest, and it's looking down on the congregation. That's the image of Christ who's going to come, and all the dead will rise. It says, and all the dead will rise. Why will they rise? Because of the resurrection that Jesus has gifted all of us, and so we hope for that day when He comes back, when all of us will rise from the dead. If we're dead by then, you know? But the dead will rise, and there will be a reunion of spirit and flesh. Now, what does that mean? A reunion of spirit and flesh. Well, that's exactly what the resurrection meant. We will rise from the dead, and there will be a reunion of our body and flesh, and there will be a perfection of our body. Our body will be very much like the body of Jesus when He rose from the dead. I kept repeating this to all of the faithful. In the resurrection life, in the second coming of the Lord, we will be resurrected, but we will not be like angels, because we kept entertaining ourselves. Oh, we will be angels in heaven. No. We will be humans in heaven. And humans with glorified body like Jesus when He resurrected from the dead. What does that glorified body look like? Well, it's a body that can go through walls. It's that body that is so beautiful, it's very difficult to recognize, as in the case of Mary Magdalene. It is a body that Jesus Himself would invite people, Thomas, come, touch me, and know that a ghost does not have flesh and bone. We will have flesh and bone when we have in the resurrection time. And then of course, that body can also eat. In all of the resurrection stories, Jesus eats with the disciple, or he will ask for food. Do you have anything here to eat? That's not a ghost. An angel will not do that, but that's how we're going to be. It's all summed up now at the very end when he says, and then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So you see the heaven coming down to unite with the earth. Now that is a figure which means finally, the plan of God from the very beginning is to live with his people. That's beautiful. I saw the heaven and the new earth coming down from the cloud to settle here. And so that beautiful heaven will transform all of this. The way the resurrection of Christ will transform our lowly bodies, so too will the new heaven transform all of these. The world that we love will be transformed. That is why the Revelation is a hopeful book. It's a book of promise. It's a book of consolation. Do not be afraid of the words in Revelation, because it is for all of you, for all of us who have kept vigil for the coming of the Lord. And he will come. That's why at the very end in the gospel, Jesus said, look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. Now, when it puts forth its flowers and its fruit, you know that summer is near. So that's what's happening now. When you see all of these things happening, it's like the fig tree put its fruit. It signals the coming of summer. Well, there's summer. What's the image of summer? Well, summer is fun. Summer is sun. Summer is reunion. Summer is traveling to see places. That's what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back. It'll be a celebration of life, because the deepest longing of our heart will be fulfilled when we will be with the Lord forever and ever to enjoy happiness with him and life everlasting.